Hey, it's John Amundson. I want to welcome you to the next podcast in a series of podcasts presented to you by the Psychologists Association of Alberta. The purpose of the podcasts is to present information that's timely, topical, and even controversial to the membership. I led in with a Bill Evans song on A Clear Day You Can See Forever because I read a popular article in the New York Times, and it had to do with habituation. So we'll start kind of in a place with this podcast with some stuff you guys already know. The opposite of a clear day seeing forever is habituated to circumstances around us that might have first been very clear and disturbing in our vision. The article cites a couple of resources and research sources regarding this issue of being able to habituate to situations that would be intolerable. You know, we use often the example of the frog, the boiled frog. So this is a discussion of that. Obviously, the very first article that they speak about is Milgram. And they talk about, you know, the Milgram experiments were very subtle successive approximations to actions that would be abhorrent or outside of one's repertoire are inculcated. One habituates to the framework within which they exist. So we're all pretty much aware of this. And the reason the article wrote about this is, brought all this stuff into it, is because they're talking about how North Americans right now, United States mostly, are habituating to circumstances and situations that are pretty bad. Thaler and Sundstrom and Kahneman wrote the book on nudge, and this is similar to nudges, where there's just very slight movements in a direction that normally we would be not likely to embrace. The research that I really liked was by a guy named Sharrott, Sharrot, and it was published in Nature Neuroscience. And what they were looking at in their experiments was habituation to dishonesty. And the long and the short is they were able to wire people up and then put them in experimental design where just ever so little bit of slight cheating was taking place. And so what they found with the subjects was that they would start with just a little bit of cheating in a win-lose, reward-loss framework, change the functions in the amygdala. The amygdala is sort of our alarm system. So when there's something that is threatening and out of the ordinary in our environment, and threatening can be on many, many levels, not just simply to our own well-being, but just something that is alarming, the amygdala goes off. Now, I'm going to use a personal anecdote that came from an experience I had. Oh, this is 25, 30 years ago. In Berkeley, California, there's a street called Telegraph Avenue. And Telegraph Avenue is where the students in the 60s marched out of Sproul Gate in the free speech movement, and where other student protests and even during the Vietnam War, when there was violent confrontation with the police, it all took place on Telegraph. These references won't mean much to you guys, but the People's Park was part of that. The university wanted to second a piece of property that had been sort of open space to build on, and there was a riot. Anyway, on and on and on. Telegraph is a place that when the first time you visit it, it'll knock you over. I was walking up the street with a friend of mine, and he was an Alberta boy, and some of his family had gone down to visit, and he said they were in shell shock after they had walked down Telegraph. And the reason I'm telling you this anecdote is he and I were walking, and we're heading up to a place called the Wright Institute. I was on his dissertation committee, and he was working with a man named Nevitt Sanford. You have to look him up. He's a grand old fellow of psychology. Yeah. Anyway, so Nevitt Sanford's program at the Wright Institute was where we were heading for a meeting around this guy's dissertation. And as we're walking, we're talking, you know, as intense academics do, right? Or we're posing, acting that way. And we're sitting at a traffic light, standing on the street, waiting for the light to change. And this guy is standing next to us. We walk up and he's standing next to us. And he is wearing, he's about 6'4", Afro-American guy. And he's wearing nothing but a pair of farmer overalls. And that's very obvious, right? And in his right hand, he's clutching a huge meat cleaver. And he's shifting foot to foot. We're standing 2 or 3 feet away from just chatting away with each other. And I use this to talk about the habituation to the chaotic and demanding situation that exists on Telegraph Avenue. So we as human beings, we begin to habituate to things that we should not habituate to. And again, I'm going to go back to the intent of the article, was this idea of how we can slowly be nudged by the events around us so that situations that would have been a sponsored reaction in us don't. Now, the bottom line in the article is we must view ourselves and our values and our habituations from outside. So the idea of looking at this situation of my friend and I standing with, you know, 6 foot meat cleaver guy, we have to say, what is it about the circumstances there that are being taken for granted, or are, you know, that no longer sponsor any sort of reaction? And they use the example of folks like Malala, Martin Luther King. They cited a bunch of other folks who seem to have this ability to always stand and look back look toward and back at situations, and then take positions and make commentary. Now, most recently, there's been a string on the clinical psychology forum around what's going on with the new proposed legislation regarding education and sexual identity in the province. And people are kind of scratching their heads and saying, I contacted PAA and I'm getting nothing back. And so is this a product of perhaps our association having been nudged or habituated to working closely with government so that we are no longer able as an association to take a very quick and responsive position? This was also seen with APA, and bringing up my old chestnut from 2016 around the torture issues. That what happened was, you know, APA was trying to accommodate military psychologists and work with the government so that the government would still respect our input. And in that process, there was a nudging and a moving in to habituation to political process, so that adaptation to the political process took away the psychologist's ability to do what the American Medical Association, the American Psychiatric Association, and then forgive me, but whatever the large body of nurses did, which was just very quickly respond to invitations to participate and then ultimately be shown to ennoble and enable torture. These other associations responded very, very quickly, and they said, nope, we're not going to do that, and they hung on to that ability to have that perception. So there it is, and me going a little sideways here regarding, you know, our conscience and how we ought to react. And you say that you are fearful for the future, and you have grown suspicious of the past, and you wonder if the dreams we shared together have abandoned us, or we abandoned them, and you cast about and try to find new meaning so that you can feel that closeness once again.